Hebrews chapter 12. What an amazing passage. Most of us are familiar with it just right after the chapter 11, which tells us about all the great heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. God tells us in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore? So he's referring back to the chapter 11, all these people that did all these amazing things by faith. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. God says, consider him. That'll be our title. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege of being here today and assembling in your name around your word. And pray the Holy Spirit would now take your word and speak to each of our hearts powerfully and personally. And Lord, we would be reminded today that you're always with us. And Lord, no matter what we go through, we have you to turn to. And I pray, Lord, that we would grow. Lord, that we would honor you with our response to your word. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be in control of our service. We love you and ask you to guide us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Wherefore, amen. All those people in chapter 11, look at verse 27 of chapter 11. By faith he forsook Egypt, fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Talking here about Moses, he forsook his Egyptian upbringing when he said, I'm a Jew, and he stood with the Hebrews. Seeing him who is invisible, that was faith, amen? And the Bible says you and I walk by faith, not by sight. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we, like Moses, we need to see him that is invisible through the word of God. And that's what it says, verse 1, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't know how that works, to be honest, because I don't believe that God allows us to see sin when we're in heaven. But at the same time, the Bible tells us, if you look at Luke 15, 7, that there's rejoicing in heaven when people get saved. So all I can ascertain is that God lets us see some of the things that happen on earth, but not all the things that happen on earth while we're in heaven. He definitely makes it known when a sinner comes to Jesus. We see that in Luke 15, 7. Joy shall be in heaven. Amen. Over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There's joy in heaven when someone gets saved. And the Bible says that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We can only assume he's referring to verse chapter 11, that the witnesses are these heroes of the faith from the Old Testament, that God allows them to at least see parts of what's happening here on earth, at least the things that are happening for Jesus. He says, knowing that you've got these witnesses, what does he say in verse 1 of chapter 12? Lay aside every weight. We're told later on that we're in a race. Amen? It's a long distance race. And we don't know where the finish line is. We don't know when the finish line is. We just know that there's a finish line, and when we cross it, we graduate to glory. But he says, while you're running this race, we need to lay aside every weight, everything that's going to slow us down, everything that's going to make it harder to run the race, we need to lay it aside. And there are some things that may not necessarily be sin, but they're still a weight. You know, if somebody chooses to run the marathon with a 40-kilo backpack, that's up to them. But it makes it a lot harder, doesn't it? And we're in a long-distance race, as we read later on in the verse. There's a race that is set before us. This is a long-distance race. It's not a sprint. And God says we need to lay aside every weight. Look at 2 Timothy 2:4, where the Bible likens us to soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier is going to make sure he is as efficient as he can be when he's out on the battlefield. He's not going to get tangled up in things that are going to slow him down, that are going to make it difficult for him to fight. And these are these weights. Now, sometimes they can be sin. They can be even sins of the heart that nobody else sees, like self-centeredness or bitterness, or maybe lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. There's a lot of things. God says, lay them aside. And as the Holy Ghost points them out, as we're in the Word of God, lay it aside. Say, I don't need to be carrying this around. I need to be running for Jesus. I need to be in this race. So we not only need to lay aside the weight, but verse 1, the sin which does so easily beset us. It looks like every Christian has a besetting sin. Sadly, it looks like the devil knows what it is, and so he uses it against us all the time, doesn't he? But there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So it's not that we have to give up and say, well, it's my besetting sin, I can't win. No, you can. With God's help, you can win. But lay it aside. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the besetting sin. Why? Verse 1, so that you can run with patience the race that is set before us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul also likens this Christian life to a long distance race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery, talking about the mastery of the race, is temperate in all things. Anybody who wants to win a long distance race is going to have to make a lot of sacrifices, aren't they? They're not only going to have to train and train and train, but they're going to make sacrifices about their eating habits, about their sleeping habits, everything. They're going to be temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I'm in a race. It's a long distance race. I'm going to keep control of this temple. Look what he finishes there. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We're told here in Hebrews 12:1 that we are in a race that has been set before us. How many Christians have stopped running? Said, I'm going to just sit down and wait for Jesus to come. I'm going to stop serving the Lord. I'm going to stop going to church. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to stop praying like I should. And I'm just going to wait. Now, God will deal with them in His own way. God will work in their lives. He is their loving Heavenly Father. But they're in a race. And nowhere does God say we're to stop running until He decides it's time and graduates us to the finish line, which is glory. So while we're running this race, we're setting aside these weights, we're setting aside besetting sin. What are we supposed to do? Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. Amen? When you're in a long-distance race, you got your mind, you got your eventually your eyes on that finish line. And as you get closer, you just can't wait to get there and finish the race. Trust me. That last couple of kilometers is the worst. But God gave us Jesus. He is our life. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God says, looking unto Jesus. So while we're running this race in the midst of this wicked world in which we live, when we need an example to follow, look unto Jesus. When you need encouragement, open the book and look unto Jesus. Amen. He said, learn of me, Matthew 11. All ye that are weak and heavy laden, look unto me. If you need direction, look unto Jesus. Open the book, look unto Jesus. You need help, you need strength, you need power, look unto Jesus. But keep running the race. Who answers our prayers? Jesus. Who makes us more than conquerors to him that loved us? Jesus. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. John 15:5. So we're in a long distance race. We've got a cloud of witnesses encouraging us. We need to cast aside the weight, cast aside the besetting sin, and just run with patience. And while we're doing it, we have someone to look to the whole time. Jesus. Just open the book. Look unto Jesus. Who is he? Verse 2, the author and the finisher. Amen. Of our faith. He authored it, and he will finish it. He authored it at Calvary. Look at Revelation 1:5, and we'll see this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. He is the author of our faith. He made our faith possible when he died at Calvary. But he's also the finisher. Look at Philippians 1:6. You remember when Stephen was stoned? And what did God allow him to have a glimpse of just before he graduated to glory? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. But the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That tells me that Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen home. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is the finisher. He starts it, he's with us all the way through, and he finishes it. That's Jesus. God says, looking unto him as your example, who, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of conquering death, but what did he have to face to receive that joy? He endured the cross, despising the shame. Can you imagine how not only physically painful it was for Jesus to go through what he went through for us, but also spiritually painful, if that's the right word, having to become sin for us, having to suffer blasphemy as God? He endured all that, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. But my friend, we have a lot to endure on this earth. The Bible talked last week about the trials that we're going to face on this earth. Remember, Paul said in Romans 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Romans 8:18. So we also have joy set before us. We know what awaits us, and that is glory. It's heaven with the Lord. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're told he is our high priest, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So we're in a race. It's a long distance race. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of the burdens. Get rid of the besetting sin so that you can run it with patience. And while you're running it, what? Look unto, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And then our title, verse 3, consider him. Consider him. If you're tempted while you're in this race, consider him. Amen. If you are hurting, consider him. If you have burdens and trials, if you're attacked, we could go on and on. Consider him. Consider Jesus. You know, when Peter stepped out of the boat, we all know the story. We often think about, you know, Peter, he sank. Yeah, but did anybody else walk on water? Did any of the other disciples step out of the boat? No. So we give Peter a hard time for sinking. Why did he sink? Because he took his eyes off of Christ and looked at the storm. And he began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus pulled him back up. Nobody else walked on water. Peter had at least had enough faith to step out of the boat. And it's the same with us. We keep our eyes on Christ and keep considering him every step of the way. God says we can do this. We can finish this race. We can get to the finish line and have God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't stop running. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is our life. Consider him. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15, where the Bible teaches that our life is no longer our life, it's his life. 2 Corinthians 5:15. The Bible says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Consider him. Constantly consider him. Be in the book. Be in church. Consider him. Because the alternative is also found in verse 3 of our passage, Hebrews 12. Lest, what? You be weary and faint in your minds. And let's face it, that's always where the battle begins, with the fainting, isn't it? It always starts right there. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that our battle with the devil, a lot of it's in our thought life. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and so forth. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Don't faint in your mind, because if you faint in your mind, you're going to faint completely. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. We'll see this as well. That the devil wants us to faint. The devil wants us to quit. Say, I can't do this. You know, if you're running a long distance race, it's all right here. It's all mental. I mean, yeah, you got to train and you got to make sure your body can handle it. But when you're two-thirds of the way through, it becomes a mental battle. Your body just does what you tell it to do. But it's the mind where you start thinking, oh, I don't know if I can finish this. Or I'm going to finish this. But it always starts in the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, our outward man just keeps getting beat up by old age, keeps getting beat up by the devil. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. How many times in the New Testament are we told to faint not? Galatians 6. Let us not be weary in all doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. God says the only way to keep that from happening is what? Looking unto Jesus and consider him. And if you do that, God says you can keep running until Jesus. Till he says, come home. Your race is finished. Let's cheer on the rest of the people that are running. Amen? That cloud of witnesses. No matter what you're facing in your Christian life, consider him. He did everything for us. He gave us salvation. He forgave us of our sins. He even moved in in the person of the Holy Ghost when we got saved. He promised us heaven. He promised He would always be with us no matter what we faced. And most beautifully, He promised, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. He promised to take us to glory. Hallelujah. So don't quit. Don't faint in your minds. Keep running. And while you're running, look unto Jesus and consider Him. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of the besetting sin. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Him. And whatever you do, keep running. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love You. And we thank You that You have given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, You have given us Your presence and Your many promises of being with You forever in glory. And Lord, until that day comes, You promise to be with us. But You also tell us to just keep running. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on You, to keep considering You every time the devil tempts us with sin or tries to put another weight on our shoulders or tries to make us faint in our minds. May we stop and consider You. May we stop and look unto You and know that we can do this with Your help and strength. Lord, if there's someone in our service today, they're not sure they're born again, I pray they'll realize Jesus did everything that they might have eternal life, but they must come to Him to receive that eternal life, and I pray they would. The rest of us, Lord, maybe some of us have stopped running. Maybe we've sat down for a while, and we need to get back up and get back in the race. Just have Your will and way in our hearts, and we love You.